The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The three presidential candidates will all meet for their first TV debate tonight. But how crucial is this debate to their hopes on election day? Well, to discuss all of this, I'm now joined by acting political editor with the Irish Examiner, Paul Hosford, and associate professor of politics at DCU, Eoin O'Malley. You're both very welcome to the programme. Let's go to you first, Paul. I mean, if you read all of the coverage of the debate so far, I think really my takeaway is it's failed to ignite.
Yeah, I think generally the campaign has failed to ignite. I think there was more interest last week on who might make the ballot than who was already on the ballot. And that's why I think tonight is actually pretty important for all of the people who will tune in. I think there's an awful lot of people who haven't made up their minds. We've no real polling yet. The most recent poll was taken before Mary Lou McDonald ruled herself out, so it's hard to actually parse how well anyone is doing. So I think tonight will be really, really important because it's such a personalised campaign. It's such a personal office. So I think that tonight will be a really good chance for any one candidate to kind of separate themselves from the other two. For Jim Gavin, I think there's a lot riding on it because people just aren't familiar with him in that context. So I think there will be a lot riding on it for him. For Heather Humphreys, I think it's about kind of introducing herself as the person rather than the minister, the kind of two very, very separate roles, because I'm not sure the public knows an awful lot about her. And then for Catherine Connolly, I think it's about pitching that claim to kind of be the anti other two and kind of giving people a choice in this election.
But it is very, very early in the campaign to be having a TV debate. I think they normally come a little closer to polling day. So given the fact that there is this 3.5 weeks left, what is at stake?
Yeah, I think if you look at 2018, the first debate didn't come until about 11 days before the election. But I think there is just that chance to kind of separate yourself out. This is almost a really good kind of introductory debate, just a chance to kind of set out your stall for the next couple of weeks. I think the goal has to be to avoid any kind of controversy, avoid any kind of misstep, and set yourself up for the next 3 weeks rather than thinking that you could probably win it in one knockout blow tonight.
And the thing is, if you do win it in one knockout blow tonight, it's trying to sustain that, isn't it, until the 24th of October is a really difficult thing to do. Eoin, if we look at previous election debates, I mean, what impact did they have on a person's campaign and on the polls? Did we see a lift or a fall off the back of somebody's performance in one of these TV debates in the past?
Yeah, they tend to matter, mainly because, as Paul said, a lot of the time the candidates aren't that well known. And so in this case, none of the candidates are that well known. Jim Gavin is probably a household name, but not somebody who we think of as in terms of politicians. In 2011, there was a debate which was crucial. I mean, it was the factor that made the difference. And we could see that Sean Gallagher was well ahead in the polls until the night of a debate, which about 900,000 people watched. And he dealt badly with a question about his previous association with Fianna Fáil. And the campaign more or less collapsed over the next 2 days. And even though the allegation that night on the particular debate was in fact untrue, it didn't matter. People saw Sean Gallagher and they saw him dithering and they decided to move away from him.
I remember that moment. I watched that debate and I remember just gasp, thinking, uh-oh, take control of this quick, because you only have a split second in that television environment to get your answer, to deliver it clearly, otherwise question marks come and it's really difficult to recover. And that's what happened.
Yes, and I mean, this is probably what the three candidates are panicking about now. Things could go wrong, and if you do mess up, it could be curtains for your whole campaign. And we even saw that in 97. It wasn't during a debate, but A.D. Roach, who was the Labour Party candidate, she went in at the start. She was hot favourite. She was, I think, polling around 40%. But immediately, she didn't come across as was expected, and suddenly all that support went away and it never came back. She was never competitive again.
Paul, it's quite a small panel tonight. There's only three speakers there, three candidates. So it's much easier to moderate I would imagine. But it's also going to be easier for the candidates to interact with each other and potentially even to attack each other, which we haven't seen in this campaign to date. Are you expecting that?
I'm kind of expecting it to be fairly collegiate in a lot of ways, but I don't expect it to get too negative. I think one of the things that turns people off in these things is that they can kind of descend into slagging matches. I think one of the come back to what Owen was kind of driving at is that tonight it's one of those sports things where you're kind of saying you can't win it tonight, but you could lose it. And that would be the fear if you were one of the candidates or if you were involved in their campaigns, that you just do something that turns people off. And that would include looking negative or nasty or anything like that to kind of come across like that. So I think people, particularly with the presidency, they want to see a debate, they want to see an exchange of ideas, but they don't necessarily want to see three people up there slagging each other off.
Owen, you were saying, look, it's an opportunity, as Paul is saying, to get out there and to let people see who you are and what defines you. But there have been other presidential elections where actually saying very little was the key to winning the debate. I mean, we saw that in 2018, didn't we, with Michael D. Higgins?
Yes, so he more or less kind of didn't bother campaigning because people knew who he was, and so he didn't really need to campaign. And I mean, I think back to 2011 is probably another one where you had, and in 2018, you had a huge number of candidates. And because you had such a large number of candidates, there was a tendency for them to kind of shout at each other. And in that context, Michael D stood aside and in fact looked most presidential by saying nothing. But it's going to be hard with only three candidates, it's going to be hard to kind of say nothing during a campaign or certainly during a debate. And so they may not necessarily want to do that. But you really will want to say as little as possible in as many words as possible in a way.
So just keep talking, keep answering the questions, but ultimately say nothing.
Well, nothing to offend anybody, yeah.
Nothing to offend somebody. In terms of, Paul, the issues, I suppose, tonight, the line of questioning. I mean, I played the clip there at the top of the programme and they said, look, the most important thing is that you show you have an understanding of the role of the president, that you understand the constitution and what your constitutional responsibilities are and what the limitations are. But we've seen in all of the other presidential debates that the conversation goes way, way beyond that, because a lot of the time you're looking at somebody's history, their record on certain policies as kind of an indicator as how they're going to behave if and when they take up the office of Áras an Uachtaráin. What issues do you think are going to come to the fore tonight?
Yeah, I think most Irish people, the vast majority of the electorate kind of takes it as read that the person they elect as president will understand the roles and the functions and the restrictions of the presidency. So I think what people are looking for or what will come up throughout this will be each candidate will look to stake their claim on the issue of Gaza, things like neutrality, things that kind of reflect Ireland as a whole, you know, that foreign policy kind of outlook. But then there will be that kind of community strand, what kind of inclusivity or what shape that will take. So I think it'll be, it's been kind of described to me as almost like vibes. People are looking for what people are looking for from their president. They're kind of looking for somebody who matches what they think an overall Irish identity is, but sometimes that's hard to put into words, and sometimes that makes for a very odd race. I remember 2011 was that kind of thing where there often was discussion of the role, but it was kind of what are people looking for in this time? Who speaks to what Ireland is now? And that's going to be really, that's a hard question to answer. And I think it's a kind of a lightning in a bottle thing for most people. I think Michael D. Higgins probably captured it, but during his presidency, rather than actually during the campaign, because as we know, it was more kind of about Sean Gallagher's collapse in 2011. Than any kind of groundswell of public opinion behind him. So I think throughout the way, he kind of found his way. So it will be interesting to see how the three candidates try to match that. Catherine Connolly's kind of already planted the flag as the natural successor to Michael D. Higgins, who remains extremely popular amongst, I think is the last polling was about 60-odd% of people. So it will be interesting to see how people try and kind of plant their flags and say, look, I'm the natural successor to Michael D. Higgins, or I'm something else.
You're talking about vibes there, Paul. Owen, how difficult is it to vibe out the potential electorate when you're walking into a TV studio, possibly for the first time, to enter a proper live debate, and you're nervous as hell?
Yeah, so all three of them, this will be new to all three, even though Heather Humphreys is obviously an experienced politician. She was a minister. Catherine Connolly was the last Cairn Corla. But none of them have ever had to do anything like this. And so there will be nerves and they will be uncertain as to how they're doing things. I think they'll all be trying to go in and kind of talking about their narratives and will just try and get across their narratives. They won't want to attack or be seen to be attacking anybody else.
And one of the big things about the presidential election in Ireland and the campaigns, Paul, is that early favourite status can be a really dangerous thing. So nobody's going to necessarily want to come out as the big winner tonight, which is actually quite odd, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's a risk in any election that it becomes accepted that you're going to win, and that dampens enthusiasm and it puts you at risk. It's almost like having a two-goal lead in soccer. They say it's the most dangerous lead. I think being the early leader, particularly in a presidential campaign, is that kind of really dangerous lead because you can't really go anywhere from there. I think if you kind of want to be simmering along up until at very minimum, if there is a second TV debate, whenever that is, you kind of want to be in place to kind of catch a bit of momentum in the last week or 10 days of the election.
So, Paul, put on your political advisor hat here. You've jacked in the journalism. You've told the Examiner you're going for a plum role in politics. What would you be saying if it was your client, your candidate tonight, just before they walk into that studio?
Yeah, I think it's very much about that. It's about that kind of vibes thing. Don't get negative. Don't attack. Kind of keep it a relatively positive thing, but don't be afraid to kind of mix it up, particularly Catherine Connolly. She's the only non-government representative there. The coalition parties each have a candidate. People will want to see her, or the people who support her will want to see her kind of bite back at the government's record and bite back at kind of the notion that you should be voting for coalition parties if you don't agree with what they're doing. I think for Jim Gavin, it's very much about showing that you are not just familiar with the role, but conversant in its functions, but also that you are likable, that you're, you know, I think there's this kind of worry about Jim Gavin that he is a bit intense, or that, you know, that he is shaped in the mould of that Dublin team that won so many All-Irelands, that he was just a really intense football manager, and how do you translate that to being a human being that people want to vote for? So I think there's both showing that you're not that kind of person. And Heather Humphreys, I think the big one is showing that the break that she took, you know, announcing last year that she wouldn't run in the election because of energy and health fears, that break has rejuvenated her, that she doesn't look tired, that she doesn't appear like somebody who is looking at this as kind of a retirement gig.
Okay, Paul Hosford and Owen O'Malley, we might get you back tomorrow for some post-debate analysis. Thank you so much for your time today.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.